places throughout the week this week, and I ran across some scripture earlier, and I just want to share it with you. And then I tell you what, you get over and get to reading the book of Romans. I think it was Lynn just a couple of months ago in Sunday school was going through some chapters in the book of Romans, and man, you can stay there forever. So we're going to move quickly tonight in the effort to get through the remainder of this chapter. We're going to start in verse number 24, and like I said, we're going to make an effort to get through verse 39 and just bring out a couple of points, and maybe the God's word will speak to you. Don't worry about what I know and what I don't know, but let God's word speak to you. So let's begin in verse number 24. The Bible says, "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." Now I'm going to stop right there, and that was kind of the verse that caught my eye, because we've been talking about faith for several weeks now, and as you read that verse of Scripture, man, the way that it starts out, you can almost see faith here in the word hope. You know, so many times when we look in the Scripture and we see the word hope, we want to relate it to what we think of as hope. I hope that the weather cools down sooner or later. I'm ready for some cooler weather. But you know what? It's not going to happen tomorrow. I know sooner. Aren't you glad that God's in control of that and we're not? Because it would be a mess. My wife, she would have it 95 degrees and I would have it 55. And I don't know how that would work together. But I'm glad that God's in control of that. But when we think of hope, we think of something that we hope that it happens. We really don't have any real reason to know that it's going to happen. But you know, that's not really what the Bible is talking about when you see the word hope here. You can almost see the word faith here in this scripture. I'm not trying to change God's word. I just want to draw you a couple of parallels right here. But it says, "For we are saved by hope." But then we also know that scripture that says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." So you can almost see in a comparison there that the word hope could almost be replaced by faith. And then also in Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 1, you remember reading that several weeks ago. The Bible says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Now go back and read verse number 24, "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope." It's almost like a same definition here of hope and faith. They kind of go together here in these scriptures. And as we're looking tonight, I want us to look at a couple of different things in this scripture. And again, kind of thinking about the faith that we have in Jesus Christ. The faith that we are supposed to have evident in our life. The faith that is supposed to, as we go out into a world where people are looking for hope, for something to have faith in, that we have exactly what they need. And are we sharing that with them or not? Are we strong enough in our faith that others can see that hope, that faith in us? Again, y'all know that I'm a firm believer that we should be very outspoken about our faith, that we should not back down from our faith. But at the same time, I don't think that we have to stick our Bible up under our arm and sing "There's power in the blood" everywhere we go. But our lives can show that hope and that faith to a lost and a dying world. And as we look right here tonight, as we continue looking at verse number 24, "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." See, I don't want you to get confused in this hope and faith that, you know, I think I heard a guy preach one time, if that's what you want to call it, but I heard a guy preach one time and he was telling about how beautiful that heaven was. He was telling that he had seen heaven. I don't know if it was in a vision or a dream or whatever. And then as he got to the conclusion of his message, he says, "But I don't know if I'll ever see it or not. I can only hope that I will." And I was like, "Oh my goodness. You're going to tell me about heaven, but you don't know that you're going." I'm glad that my hope, my faith of going to heaven is not just a hope so, I hope I can get there, but I know without a doubt on the authority of God's word, because Jesus' blood has been applied to my life, I know without a doubt that I'm going to heaven when I die. So don't get lost in this word hope here, but let's compare it to the word faith. Verse number 26 and verse number 27, the Bible says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." You know, the thing of it is I've got faith that I know that God knows more about me than I do, and that God knows what I need more than I know what I need. so many times I get down and I begin to pray and I begin to ask God for what I think that my life stands in need of. I begin to ask God for this or ask God for that. And I say, God, I really need you to move in this situation, in this direction. And God, this is what'll fix it. But I'm glad that God don't listen to what I say, that God don't take my recommendations. When I say that, we know that God hears and answers our prayers. But I'm glad that God says, okay, you just think you know what you're talking about, because the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, it knows, he knows, the Spirit is not in it, he knows what you really need in your life. The Bible tells me that when I pray, that my words are not really what's taken to the Father anyway, but the Holy Spirit makes groanings on my behalf to the Heavenly Father. He searches my heart, and he knows the will of God, and he approaches the Heavenly Father on my behalf. I'm glad that God don't give me what I ask for, but God gives me exactly what his plan is for my life. Because sometimes there's been things that I have asked for that if God would have brought it through just the way that I asked for it, it would have been a wreck. It would have been a mess. It would have been just crazy, but God gave me exactly, even knowing what my heart desired, he knew what his plan for my life was. So look at this. I'm glad that I can have faith in a God that's going to do what's right for me, even when I don't know what's right for me. We think that we know sometimes. We think that we know exactly what we want. Have you ever went somewhere just to eat, and you thought that you sat down there, and you looked at the menu, and you said, right there, that's what I want, and then you ordered it, and it wasn't no good? Hey, that's okay. You can send it back and go on with it. I tell you what, some of the things that I prayed for in my life, if God had given them to me, it would have messed me up. But I'm glad that God said, you know what? I know what your heart desires, but I know more of what you need in your life, and I'm going to give you what you need instead of what you want. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. See, but I'm also glad that there's been times in my life when I absolutely did not know what to ask God for. I was in the middle of a mess. I was in the middle of a storm. I had no idea how to fix it. I was to the place that I was ready to throw my hands up. I was to the place that I was already saying, okay, I don't know what the answer to this is. And see, I'm so glad that it's not up to me to come up with that answer. But yet God knows what that answer is. And when I pray, and here's the way that I think that we really should get to the place where we are, is to say, God, you know what your will is. Now you bend my life. You help me to yield to exactly what your will is in this situation, and everything else will be all right. Everything else will be okay when we get to where we say, God, I don't know. I think I know, but I don't really know. He says, we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints. Listen to this, according to the will of God. I'm glad that our God is sovereign and that our God knows exactly what we need even when we don't know. Let's look at verse number 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. As we look at verse number 28, we quote that scripture a lot. We use that scripture. Man, there's been times in my life that I have just held on to that scripture because I was going through something. I'm going, God, I don't know how this is going to work out for good for anybody. But this is where faith has to step in. This is where you have to go, you know what? God, this looks bad. God, I don't know how in the world that this is going to work out for my, and I truly believe that there are going to be some things that happen in our lives that we will not understand how they work for any good whatsoever until one day when we're in the presence of God and he says, right here, I want you to understand this now. And we're going to go, oh, okay, I got you. That's going to be sweet, ain't it? That's when there's some things that's happened in our lives that you don't understand and that I don't understand. And really and truly, if you ask us, if we gave our fleshly opinion, if we gave you just our man-made opinion, we'd say, there's no way that could work out for my good. There's no way that that's for my good. But that's where our faith has to step in, and we have to say, you know what? I'm going to believe Romans 8:28, that all things work together for my good. that all things that happen in my life, they're going to work together. That one little thing may not seem like it's good, but it's going to work together in the whole big picture for my good. There's been some things that I've seen people go through. There's been some things that I've went through and try to understand, God, how is this going to work together for good? God, how is this going to be anything that could work together for good? But that's where our faith has to kick in. What we've been talking about for several weeks about getting our faith stronger, about relying on God, about looking to God for our help and our strength, about just saying, God, I'm yours and I'm going to yield to you no matter what. That's what happens here in verse number 28. That finally, maybe we got to the place where we said, okay, God, I'm just going to trust you. I know that all things work together for good to them that love God. You know, even sometimes when I quote that scripture, when I read that scripture, I think I almost sometimes am trying to convince myself. You know, sometimes people will come into work and they'll say, hey, how you doing today? I say, man, I'm just doing great. It's a great day. And then I'll say, and I'm going to keep saying that until I finally believe it. You know, sometimes when you get in the middle of a storm, you get in the middle of something that you don't understand why you're going through it, you get in the middle of something that's hard, sometimes you just need to keep saying, and we know that all things work together for the good. And we know that all, man, sometimes you have to prep your faith a little bit. You know, on Fridays when the football team's going to have a game that night, to have those pep rallies at school, sometimes you got to get somewhere and have you a little pep rally and say, God, I know that all things work together for my good. God, I know that all things work together for my good. And God, I'm going to keep saying it until I can make myself believe it, because I'm struggling right now. But verse number 28, and we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Verse number 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Uh-oh. Preacher said predestinate. Everybody's going to leave. We ain't talking about that. I'm scared of that. No, we're not going to be scared of that for tonight. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, I do know that there are people who believe in predestination. I'm sorry, I don't buy it. That's not me. Listen, that's not the word of God. That's not my belief. The word of God doesn't teach and predict. Well, are you sure, preacher? Because you read it right here in verse number 29. Well, you know what? I believe that as we look here in verse number 29, it says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Verse number 30 says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, he also justified, and him whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now, as you look at this, don't be scared of this word predestinate, because we can go through God's word really quick. And in John chapter number 3, verse number 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him. Now, predestination wouldn't teach you that. Predestination would teach you that you're born for heaven, I'm born for hell. You know, I'm really concerned because I've not met many people in my life that believed in predestination that didn't think they were going to heaven. But at any rate, and I'm not saying that to poke fun or anything else, I'm saying that because what a sad situation to be in, because this hope that we were talking about earlier, this hope, this faith, there's no need for that hope and that faith if I'm not predestinated to go to the right place. And I don't believe that whatsoever. So as we look at this scripture tonight, and as we look at back at John 3:16, for whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Acts chapter number 2, verse number 21, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:3, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, I don't know how y'all define whosoever, but I'll define it as anybody. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord. Well, what's it talking about here? I believe that we're all chosen, but I believe that we all have the ability to choose whether we're going to believe in God and to believe in his son, Jesus Christ, and to accept salvation on our own free will or not. We all have that same ability. And look in verse number 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. I'm glad that tonight, or the day that I was born, I'm glad that my decision between, this is not talking about eternity here. We can get deeper into this some other time, but I'm not going to get into all of it tonight. So, but I'm glad that the morning that I was born, September 9th, 1981, long, long time ago, some of y'all are looking at me kind of weird. Some of y'all thinking I'm still wet behind the ears. September 9th, 1981, when I was born, my eternity was not decided that day. I want to tell you, when I was the age of 7, and I knelt down on my knees, and I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart and my life, my eternity was decided that day. That's the day that I had made a decision for Jesus Christ. So let's keep going. I'm going to get tied up right here. Verse number 31. What shall we say then to these things? Listen to this. If God be for us, who can be against us? Now, when you think about that, now listen. I had a brother that's 4.5 years older than me. And everybody at North Surrey, well, not everybody, but a lot of people in North Surrey called me Little Travis. They, some of them that still to this day don't know what my name is. They think I'm Little Travis. And that made me so mad I couldn't stand it. But at any rate, my brother and I were not really all that close. It was enough distance in between. We are now. But there was just enough difference in our age that he didn't want me around very much. And he didn't know it, but I wanted him to be my hero. I wanted to be in his back pocket all the time. So we sort of had that battle going on. And when I went to North Surrey High School as a freshman, look, I know this is hard to believe, but I wasn't always as cool as I am right now. I was a little nerd at school and a little round, plump thing. I don't know what Autumn ever saw. This might explain the day she said, I like you too. That might be what this explains. But I just knew at North Surrey, the thing was when I was there, that if you was a freshman and you were caught on the breezeway between, was it first and second wing? That freshman got tossed off the breezeway. So I stayed away from the breezeway. Because guess what? When I was a freshman, my brother was a senior. And I knew if he caught me on that breezeway that I was going to be digging my way out of the bushes. No doubt in my mind. But on the other hand, I knew that if anybody else messed with me, my brother had my back. I wasn't worried about it whatsoever. Hey, Travis, this dude is messing. Now, he might stand back and laugh for a minute, but sooner or later, he would come to my rescue. I believe that with all my heart. And you know, when we look at our relationship with God, how in the world can we let the things of this world intimidate us and drive fear into us when we have a God like our God? We're not looking at a little fat man on a shelf. We're not looking at some kind of something hung up on a wall that we're going to pay some kind of homage to or make some little prayer to. We are serving a living God. And the Bible says right here in Romans chapter number 8, verse number 31, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who in the world? I'm going to get a little JLS version in there. Who in the world can come against you if God be for you? Who's bigger than your God? Who's stronger than your God? Who's more mighty than your God? Nobody. There's nothing. If God be for us, who can be against us? Verse number 32, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. I'm glad that it is God that justified me, that washed my sins away. Verse number 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. You know, there's a lot of people in this world that want to point a finger at you and that want to tell you, look, it's what it's saying right here, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? There's a lot of people that want to point a finger at you. I get so tickled. Look, I don't mean to bring politics into this. I just think this is really funny right now. But you could have a whale jump out of the ocean and make a big splash and get a painting wet over in Italy somewhere or another, and right now that's Trump's fault if that happens. I don't know what's going on, but and I don't care what your politics are. I just think that's funny. Every time you turn on the news, whatever's happening, it is President Trump's fault. Okay? But when we look at this, people in this world may want to point a finger at us and say, this is your fault, this is your fault, this is your... Hey, I'm not worried about what this world thinks about me. I'm not waiting for this world to justify me. It's my Heavenly Father that justified me through the blood of His darling Son. That's what justifies me. That's what's washed me. This world can't lay anything to me, lay it to my case, because I've been justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. I like the way he said that. He said, it's Christ that died, but that's not the end of the story. He says, yea, but rather, he's risen again. He is alive today. He's not laying in a grave somewhere. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? I'm glad that we are serving a living God, that Jesus Christ is alive today and he's alive forevermore, that when they put him in that grave, it only lasted temporarily, and when they come to see him there at the grave and to put those spices on him, the only thing they heard is, why seek ye the living among the dead? Because he was no longer there. He was risen just like that he had said. And then 3 days later, then he went ascended into heaven, and one day he's coming back to claim us as his bride. I'm glad that we're serving a living God. It wasn't 3 days later. I'm sorry. I got a little tongue-tied there, a little excited. Verse number 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Now listen to all these things he's named. Who's going to separate you from the love of Christ? Verse number 36, that it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Listen, verse number 37. Nay, he says, now listen, who shall separate you from the love of Christ? And then he names this list, and he says, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. But then he says in verse number 37, no, those things can't separate you from the love of Christ. Nay, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We're winners. Tonight, for I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I want to show you where you can put your faith at tonight. Real quick, you can put your faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen, for I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you want somewhere to put your hope and your faith? You put it in Jesus Christ. Because everything he's ever started, I am the worst in the world for starting something and not finishing. I got out of high school, me and Autumn, we got married shortly thereafter. I decided I was going to be a computer engineer. Didn't even know what one was. I just seen they made a lot of money, so I was going to be a computer engineer. So I started school over at Surrey and started my getting through school, and I got all of my Englishes and all that out of the way, and my family began to grow a little bit. Started going down to Forsyth Tech. There was a couple of classes I needed from Forsyth Tech that they didn't offer at Surrey, and I got down to Surrey one night. I was at Surrey one night, and my I said Surrey, and Siri thinks I'm talking to her. That is Ararat working on me right there. I said Surrey, not Siri. So we was at Surrey one night, and one of our teachers, our instructor, says, out of the 15 guys that are in here, only about 2 of y'all will finish this. And I said, yeah, right, I've got this. I'm going to do this. So I got to Surrey and done all that. Ended up down at Forsyth Tech. Like I said, my family had begun to grow a little bit. I think we'd had our second baby, right, Autumn? You okay? So I took a couple of nights off, and we'd had a baby, and I started back to school, and I was homesick for mama and my babies. And I called Autumn one night, and I said, I cannot stand this. I'm homesick. I want to come home. And she said, come on. That was the end of my college career right there. I always said, I'm the worst in the world. I said all that to say this. I'm the worst in the world to start stuff and never finish. I even have said, I'm going to go back. I'm going to finish something. It's been 20 years. I'm not going back. But I've always said, I'm going to finish. I'm glad to know tonight that whatever God said, he has always finished. He has never, ever, ever left me high and dry, left me hopeless, left me wanting. He is always... Put your faith and your hope in Jesus Christ. He will finish. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm glad that I have a God that I can count on. Y'all can't count on me. I'll just go ahead and tell you, I'll let you down. At my very best, I'll let you down sometime or the other. You can't count on things in this world. People will let you down. Finances will let you down. Jobs will let you down. There's all kinds of things in this world that will let you down. But God will never let you down. Put your faith and your hope in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we thank and we praise you for all that you do. God, thank you for the scripture tonight. God, there's such power in some of these scriptures. Man, I can just feel them in my heart, God, when I read them. And God, I'm so thankful that it's not dependent on me and my knowledge, but the power of your word to speak to us, to draw us closer to us, to you, and to increase our faith. God, I want to thank you that you've always finished everything that you've ever started. And God, there's nothing in this world that can separate me from your love. Even when life is hard, tough, through burdens, trials, and troubles, whatever it is, God, I know that you're there for me. And one day, God, when it's all finished, that I'm finally going to be in your presence. God, I pray for each and every one of us that are here tonight. Help us to walk in a way that gives you glory and points someone to the cross of Christ. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.